It's Jesus' first ever sermon, and it's very simply answering this question: who gets blessed? Who gets blessed? Who makes the cut? How many times do you say these words, God bless you? God bless you. Do you ever say that? Sorry, just got the Christmas lurgy. Do you ever say, God bless you? In Austria, if you're going to Austria, here's a little vocabulary thing. If you're saying goodbye, you say, Vierti. What that literally means is, Viert dich Gott, which means, God bless you. If you sneeze in England, you say, God bless you. If you're saying goodbye in Austria, they say, God bless you. Two atheists taking leave of one another. Vierti makes no sense. But what does it exactly mean to say, God bless you? Who makes the cut? And in the very first of the blessings or beatitudes that are in this reading, Jesus describes the sort of person, the sort of condition they need to have in order to receive God's blessing. We don't have someone to read it, so you can read it yourself. Just picture yourself. It's the top of a mountain. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus' disciples, verse 1, come to him. And he begins to teach them this. He says, this is who you need to be if you are going to receive God's blessing. Olivia, could you put up the first slide? If God is going to say this to you, God bless you, what do you have to be? The words that is used in verse 2 and in all the other verses is a Greek word. It means makarios. And one translation that is given of this word is happy. Happy are those who. But it's not quite the right phrase, because happy, I don't know what makes you happy. I'm happy when Tottenham get in the top four. I'm happy when I get a bargain in the Christmas sales. Just as a cool question, do you like this, boy? Do you? Yes. I'm happy. But the makarios Jesus is talking about is something that is deeper than just good circumstances. It goes deeper than just being in a good place. You can be happy, it says, verse 4, when you mourn, you can be happy in this sense. When you are persecuted, verse 10, God has a blessing on your life, on, as Winnie told us, your finances, on your health. God wants to bless your relationships. He wants to bless your family if you are what? Poor in spirit. Another translation of that is those who realize their need of him. As we put it earlier in this service, those who know they need help, who are looking for the help button on the computer, which isn't there. There are some questions not even Google can answer. And when you know that your help is in the God of Jacob and your help is in the Lord, as Psalm 146, verse 5 says, that means you can be blessed. Is there any situation you're facing that is hopeless? See anything in your life where you need help? You are one of those whom Jesus is talking about. You're blessed if you humbly depend on God, whose help comes from him and whose hope is in the Lord their God. As a church, we want to be poor in spirit this year. Even if we are Downton Abbey, that is a real image to conjure with. All Saints is Downton Abbey, another place which was poor in spirit in different episodes. Back in May, we were poor in spirit. We needed a new architect. We needed a new finance person for our £550,000 budget. We needed more help in the office. Did not know who these three people were. When you are poor in spirit and are seeking to be Makarios, blessed, and turn to God, He is the God who provides as we experienced. And there are two very specific ways that we can express our need of God, our poverty of spirit this year. Here is the first one. How poor in wisdom are you? Can you put the next slide on? Scripture, God's word, is the source of God's wisdom. And it speaks of the one who leans on God, like a person of any age, leaning on a walking stick, leaning on God. Proverbs 14:12 says this. It says, many men go down the path that feels right to them, but it leads to death. Have you ever gone down a way which felt right, which felt wise? Have you ever started a relationship which felt so good? Have you ever made an investment that seemed so right? Have you ever spoken words that sounded in your head so good? But it didn't lead to life. God's wisdom, which is in God's word, teaches us to lean on Him, because His wisdom can sometimes feel and sound like foolishness to human wisdom. The very foundation on which we base this church, on which every church is invited to base their whole 2016, is the cross of Jesus. There was no human wisdom that could possibly understand God dying on a cross. St. Paul describing this crazy act of God, that seems crazy, he likens it to foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to Jews. It made no human sense. But what greater way to show God's wisdom than to defy death by rising again? What greater way to show His power than by defeating the grave? Have you had any experience in your life, as I have, of examples that seemed right to us but were not wise at all? God's wisdom in His word is one He invites us to read every day. Are you reading God's wisdom and leaning on it every day? Are you being encouraged by at least one other person in your life to depend on God's wisdom for the situations you face? One bit of wisdom that God's word gives us is this: the love of money is the root of all evil. And in 10 days' time, I'm going to a meeting which could offer All Saints Church a lot of money for our site redevelopment project. Could be great. What a great boost to our finances. But I remember the wisdom of God and the word of a mentor of mine who said, don't chase the money. If the money comes with strings attached and the church is no longer glorifying Jesus and worshiping Him and doing what He wants, if the money comes with strings attached, don't go for it. It would feel so great. Proverbs 14:12 says, what feels great can lead to death. God's wisdom is what we lean on. Are you leaning on that? And secondly and finally, the way to express your poverty of spirit is to ask yourself this. Do you ever get like this? Can you put up the next slide? The French word, do you remember the Austrian word? Fierté, that means goodbye. Bit of French, huh? You're really getting your money's worth. Crevé means exhausted. It also means punctured. Oh, je suis crevé. I'm exhausted. Do you ever feel like this? Welcome to the human race. We are exhaustible. God is inexhaustible. We get tired. God never does. Our strength, our skills, our wisdom are finite. God's is infinite. We get crevé. He does not. Our strength, the psalmist wrote, Psalm 73, verse 26, our strength is in the Lord, and our portion is Him. We give to God the times in our life, which may be right now in that corner, where we are crevé. The situations in our life where our own wisdom and resources of all kinds have run out. This is a church of greater resources and training and education and skills than any other I've been in my life. And as we gather around a big table for our church council meetings, we use all of these resources. But we, all of us around the table, remind ourselves that what we need woven in to our skills and experience and insights are God's wisdom and His strength, which is inexhaustible. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Makarios are the poor in spirit. Happy in the sense that God smiles on them. God's favor is on them. God is at work in their life when we come to Him recognizing our finiteness. I'm going to read a prayer that was the prayer of a man who leant on God, not on his own understanding, who knew that he needed the help from God Almighty. A man whose influence and preaching in the 18th century prevented, many say, England having our own equivalent to the French Revolution. His was a life utterly devoted to God. And this was his prayer. And as you are invited to come forward for communion in a few minutes' time, you are invited to take this prayer. If you would like to hang it on your fridge or put it in your pocket as your prayer for 2016, or that it might become your prayer. And before I invite everybody in the corner to come up just to show us the different aspects of your life that you might have modeled back there, well, this prayer is saying that we commit the whole of our life, all of our skills, all of our resources, all of our time, all of our money, all of our need for help, our poverty in spirit, to you, Lord. This is the prayer. I invite you to echo it in your heart if you would like to make it yours. Lord God, I am no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. And the covenants now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Can I invite those of you who are parents and anyone else to come up with your child, or if they want to come up on their own, to come up. And I'm going to ask them in a single word to say what it is they have modeled. For this prayer, if it is yours, if it is ours as a church, is wanting to offer every single bit of our lives an easy prayer to pray, needing a lot of help from God to actually put into practice, to actually give to God our lives. And he can be trusted. We can lean on him, the one who's inexhaustible.